Welcome, everybody, in another episode of the Wrestling Versus the World podcast. If you're enjoying your day, sweet. If not, what the hell ever. All right, it's time for another one. It's the big one. March 16, 2013 episode of Saturday Morning Slam. We're opening up the show. We're getting those hype packages again, saying the GM's going to be announcing the show, and somehow there is a video there spliced in of Josh Matthews being duct taped to a chair, which Titus O'Neil helps continue rolling the tape around. At least he's doing that rather than blowing the whistle all the damn time, huh? And apparently the show is in a state of mayhem somehow. Oh, this show is in chaos. It's a pandemonium. Okay, then what is the Nexus destroying the ring back in 2010 count as in comparison to all this? So, we got to kick into the broadcast now because Booker T starts off in the ring. It's taken a few weeks to choose a GM for the show somehow.
Dude.
On screen, you're busy like once a week with SmackDown. So it takes you a couple weeks to narrow down any possible candidates. Come on now. He says he's chosen the right man for the job, so that means AJ and Natalya aren't options, because you gotta do the whole gender thing. And Slater is on commentary, because we hear him say, oh, I'm the best person, it's Slater, baby! Because you can hear his voice, but Booker T can't, so that means he's on commentary. And Booker T announces that the new GM of the show will be Mick Foley, which crowd highly approves of, should have been expected. Foley, he's honored to be in charge of the show, and he vows that the show will be more fun, exciting, and unpredictable under his watch. So, does that mean he admits that things have been mediocre at best so far with the series? He's saying it's going to be more fun, so that means it can't be the most fun thing if you can make it more fun, or exciting, or unpredictable. I mean, it was more unpredictable when you didn't have a GM, because you never knew what was going to happen. You didn't know when the camera cuts are going to happen. Are you going to be in charge now to say, no more camera cuts, bang bang, or any of that shit? But no. So he's trying to cut his promo, and out comes Daniel Bryan. He's got his groomed hair, and he's not happy about not being chosen to run the show. And he's all pissed off, saying, I've combed my hair! I filled out the forms! I should run this show! No! And all that. And Mick thinks the reason he didn't get the job is because he's got unresolved anger issues. And Daniel's like, I do not have anger issues! He's about to scream. Daniel and Mick is just like, hold on. I admire your passion, and I may choose you as the assistant general manager of the show. Daniel's like, really? Like, again, who wants to run this show? It's the equivalent of when Stevie Richards declared himself to be the GM of Sunday Night Heat back in the day. There is nothing to look forward to. Then we get an interruption by Dolph Ziggler, AJ Lee, and Biggie Langston. They think that GM, Mick Foley being the GM of the show is ridiculous, and they should run the show instead. So then you get this whole yes and no argument thing of AJ Lee and Dolph saying, yes, we should run the show. But Daniel's like, no! Back and forth, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, oh my fucking god. Then Mick's like, hey, I've got an idea. Without even trying to get a G-pop by saying what city we're in, because then we would expose how far back the show is pre-taped. And immediately we're going to get Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler to open the show. So yes, that's the opening match. He's Slater on commentary with Josh Matthews. For some reason, early on in the match, Daniel decides to start dancing around. I don't know why. And he's just flexing his muscles like, what? I know Dolph right beforehand was showing off like, hey, here's my hair, wet, or whatever he does with his hands over his hair, like, trying to dry it off. Daniel's dancing around for some reason. Yay! Then Dolph, like, you got some action going on. Dolph retreats to the outside to avoid an attack by Daniel by grabbing the ropes, then hightailing out of the ring for a moment. No clue what he's trying to avoid, because Daniel didn't look like he was setting up for anything. Daniel, gets put into head scissors, and he does a vertical headstand, almost like he's about ready to get planted by a fucking pile driver, in order to escape the hold, so he's pretty much copying what Dolph does, like, hey, I can stand on my head too! Yes! And you even get a chest kick afterwards when Daniel gets back to his feet to get out of that headstand, which gets the camera cut treatment. So then Daniel, he gets an elevated surfboard stretch. When he's setting it up, I was thinking that, like, he was waiting and pattering to the crowd. I thought he was going to do the same thing that he did with Barrett last time, where he's going to smash his knees. But no, he actually gets a surfboard stretch, like, on his back, elevated. He even wrenches in at Ziggler's head, which, okay, that works. Then they both get back to their feet, and Daniel starts doing the yes kicks, which get the iffy camera angles because you can't show it, and camera cuts in there, too, in order to cover the fact that they're taking stuff out. Ziggler, he catches Daniel's leg in the last kick attempt, and then just puts him in a standing headlock, because that's the best way to counter a kick. Then Ziggler, like, he's got a headlock. They're, like, down on the ground for a moment. They get back up to their feet, and they start trading reversals and running the ropes, avoiding each other. And Daniel gets the better of Ziggler by giving him an arm drag that sends Ziggler flying out of the ring, going into commercial. And I realized right before they went to commercial, we have the We Hate Cena guy in the front row, and they had to censor a shirt right there at, like, at ringside and everything. Because you can't have hate on a G-rated show, can we? Because then again, ECW wasn't allowed to have that when they were on TNN, were they? Now you get back from break. Daniel, he gets whipped into the corner. He bounces back first out of the corner to the canvas. Ziggler, he's next to Daniel. He's doing sit-ups. One, two. And by the time he counts three, Daniel rolls him up for near fall. Daniel stops a dropkick by Ziggler and then catapults him into the corner instead of going for a Boston Crab. And then Ziggler turns around into Frankensteiner, and that's it. Out of nowhere. You gotta flip. You just put him in a small package. I mean, Daniel tweeted himself being quote-unquote Mr. Small Package. I mean, Bree's going to have answers to that, but you could finish with that and nobody gets out of your small package now, do they? Would have been better instead of a Frankensteiner out of nowhere like a Rey Mysterio. But, yeah. I mean, they've had better matches. If you want a better match than this, look at Bragging Rights 2010. That's a better option than this. Now you get backstage. I shook my head at this part. Prince Albert and Brodus Clay are meeting with Mick Foley backstage, and Foley's like, hey, your dancing is juvenile and inadequate, but it needs something. So he rips off his button-up shirt to show his Dude Love shirt underneath there and dances with Brodus while Albert, he's hiding his face in shame. He's just like, oh my god, what the fuck did I do to get put in this fucking lower tier card position on this company? Oh, that's right, I was giving a character when I came back that didn't make people differentiate me from who I was in the past, and that's why they were chanting Albert when I came back. So there's a bunch of dancing, and we get a visit by Rosa Mendez, Primo, and Epico. Rosa, she's saying something in Spanish. She would have just been better off doing what Ron Simmons came on, just be like, damn, or just say, gah, or something like that, G-rated. And Mick is like, oh, I know Espanol. They're calling us the three dancing bears. And they make a bunch of bear puns, which Tensai doesn't laugh at. Thank you, because it was so cringeworthy. And then back from break, we find out there's an impromptu match that McFoley booked. Brodus Clay and Tensai versus Primo and Epico, the latter team not getting an entrance during all this. Now, at first, when I saw Tensai's attire, I thought he was wearing, like, a black singlet with the Undertaker's, like, red symbol on there. But no, it's just, like, Japanese wording there instead. I mean, that had me confused there. So Epico, he's trying to slam Tensai. We gotta remember, Epico is the cousin of Carlito, not the brother that used to be tag champs with Carlito back in the day. He's trying to slam Tensai, but no bueno! And Tensai slams him instead. I mean, you would think little guys would remember not to do power moves on big guys if you can't power lift. Surprisingly, Tensai, I could not believe he could do this. He, like, did, like, a double wrist lock onto Epico, like, with his arms down, almost like a test strength sword. And then monkey flipped Epico out of the corner. I didn't know Tensai had that in him. And then he tries a running sunset flip, but Epico keeps rolling backwards and gets a drop kick onto Tensai. Gets a springboard corkscrew planche off the rebounding off the second rope. Tags in Primo, who does Eddie Guerrero's Topikon Hilo into the ring on Tensai for two. And then that's where all things fall apart. Because Primo, he tries going for Bret Hart's elbow drop, misses. We get this quote-unquote hot tag by Tensai to Brodus, even though barely anything happened to him. He's bulldozing over Primo, gets an exploder suplex, and throws him into the corner. He gets that running corver avalanche splash for two, but camera cut. Then Primo, Epico gets thrown out of the ring. Primo, he's in the ring in the middle of himself. He shrugs like, oh, well, I'm dead. Double sandwich, between both Clay and Tensai, eats a simultaneous double splash by Tensai and Brodus down in the ring, so both men splashing him at the same time to end the match. This was a sorry excuse for main event. You would have been better off just Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler the whole show. I know we've had at least a few times where we've had a single match during the whole show, like Randy Orton and Damian Sandow. That would have been better than this main event, because this main event was a bad choice. Start to finish. A squash match like this, Primo and Epico barely got any offense in, and they just, squish. Oh, that's it. So, yeah, that main event was terrible. that wouldn't even be a match that I would want to see on a house show, to be honest. But anyway, yeah, this show is nothing special. I mean, Mick Foley being the GM, he panders to the kids. Oh, stop fighting for these fans! And all this stuff. So, I mean, it was bound to happen. Daniel Dolph is okay, main event, no thanks. And this backstage segment stuff, dancing, it's cringeworthy, let's make bear jokes. I don't care. I don't care. So yeah, after this, I've only got 8 more episodes to watch. And then Saturday Morning Slam will be over. Because like I said last time, July 31st, 2024 will be the final Saturday Morning Slam review. And then 2 weeks later, I will start on the next big project within the podcast. I swear to you, it's going to be a lot better than this. I promise. So anyway, let me know in the comment section below. What did you think about this episode of Saturday Morning Slam? My God, I am losing brain cells. If there are any left from the show that they haven't fucking taken from my brain stem, now have they? Or at least my frontal lobe. So anyway, if you guys enjoyed today's episode, please remember to leave a like, subscribe to the bell, turn it on if you're listening to this on YouTube, or follow if you're listening to this podcast on any other server that this podcast is available on. And I'll catch you all in the next episode. Thanks for watching, folks. Like, comment, subscribe. Peace out, and good day, everybody. And no more dancing!